Previously on the Critical Mass Podcast.
Is this thing on? Okay.
I seen it happen. Eat a duck.
You saw a catfish eat a duck?
It's fuel for the imagination.
Do you hear things too?
Sound bites. Keep them frozen. They're good.
I hear someone.
No, don't turn it down.
All right, welcome back to the Critical Mass Podcast. I'm Winston.
I'm Curtis.
And we are ready to prep for yet another catastrophe. The end times are upon us.
Everybody's gonna die.
It's true, man. Life's fatal. The statistics are in. One out of one dies.
There's no survivors.
There is no survivors. We're prepping this week for, did we ever come up with a good catchy name for it? The fantasy apocalypse, the magic apocalypse, the coming of the rift. The particular doomsday scenario that we are getting ready for is what we are going to do when the world of magic, when the world of fantasy invades the world of the mundane for once and for all, for good or for ill. It's going to happen. All of the literature we've studied, all of the historical documents that we have access to.
Sci-fi books, yes.
Proves.
Hey, there's more of them out there than actual historical documents, so somebody's going to find them first.
Yep. Yeah. So it's going to happen. We need to be prepared.
Yeah.
Today we're prepping for the rise of magic.
The end of the world as we know it. It's the end of the world as we know it. It's the end of the world as we know it. And I feel fine.
We have access to a number of good, solid, reliable literary documents and historical tapes to prove that magic is coming to the world, coming in force, and coming to replace the paradigm that we know and often complain about.
True. I don't think it'll replace it entirely. I'll still have my 45s.
Well, you know what? That's the very first thing we did. We went to Rifts.
Yeah. Rifts, because that's the common one, but then there's, the old cartoon Visionaries.
Oh, no, see, I don't remember this.
God, you suck.
I'm terrible.
You're sheltered. It was an old cartoon, 80s, maybe earlier. Their high-tech world was at war, and also, for some reason, magic was infused back into the world. Their technology started breaking down, it wouldn't work, but magic came back, and they used it. Knights were bestowed with powers. Their vehicles ran off the magical energies, and the whole toy line was a success. That's what it was.
Like toys that would have been a success had they released them with John Carter.
We're still sore about that.
We are still sore about that.
I was watching it the other day.
Damn. Yeah. So, alright, that's cool. Visionaries. The coming of the Rifts. Rifts is a role-playing game from Palladium in which all of a sudden, one day, without warning.
Well, it was a nuclear war, wasn't it?
Was there a nuclear war?
Like
it's been so long since I've read the introductory material.
I think it was a nuclear war that erupted and caused the Rifts to form.
There was something. The upshot of it was, whatever the cause, giant rifts, interdimensional rifts appear all around the world.
And magic burst forth into the world again.
Yep.
The ley lines were weak and no more.
Yeah. And it's, it's a very traditional post-apocalyptic setting, mm-hmm. especially in, what does he call that, Chaos Earth?
Yeah, the right after the surviving.
Yeah, directly afterwards, yeah. Chaos Earth.
Yeah, Chaos Earth. Which would be good if you get the books out enough for them.
We take what we can get.
Yeah.
Anyway, but Rifts is good stuff, and it has taught us that magic and technology, far from being entirely separate paradigms, are in fact very compatible, and not only compatible but essentially identical.
Yeah, just different power sources.
Right, right. Magic in Rifts is an arcane, mysterious energy directed by people through items.
It's more like the Jedi Force if you count it, PPE, Microfluidians. If you go that route, that's what it is like. They just can do different things with it. That's all.
Well, the way it's handled is very mechanical.
Yeah.
Magic is easily quantified. It's easily reproduced. It's all very scientific. So every time, well, think about this. You know, every time you do a given spell in a given way, you get a given result within a range of possibilities. It's very, very, mechanical.
Yeah.
So that's the first lesson that we have learned from the coming of the Rifts. Magic and science are essentially the same thing. And, you know, this ties in well with Clark's Law. Which says, of course, that sufficiently advanced technology is indistinguishable from magic.
True, true. Which I argue with Greg all the time. It's ether.
It's ether.
Fudge the ether.
And of course, the corollary to Clark's Law is sufficiently quantified magic is indistinguishable from technology. So that's the first place we went. Where else did we go for
Technomancer from GURPS?
GURPS Technomancer. Fill us in on Technomancer.
Technomancer. Let's see. When they did the test for the bomb from World War II, the one guy said that one line,
yes.
It'll become death. Completed a ritual, basically did internal shamanism where, and with the eruption of that, like the rifts it caused, it brought forth magic again, like weakened the veil between science and magic, and the world merged, basically. And now there's, you know, intelligent penguins.
Intelligent, telepathic, hive mind penguins, all
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that can kill you all. But, magic was brought back in the world, but instead of going all voodoo on it and thinking, it's bad, they embraced it, and technology and science and magic are one. They use flying carpets in Vietnam instead of choppers. We won that one in that world.
Well, Technomancer also gave us the zombie gerbil gun.
Yeah, it did.
Yes, indeed.
It gave us everything. It gave us also the necrotic virus.
So what lessons have we learned from Technomancer?
You can embrace it.
Well,
but
you know,
there's still bad things about it because, you know, the byproducts of, like, messing with all the undead created a necrotic virus.
Right.
I mean, still have problems with production, but it's all, you know, stuff they can handle.
So the lesson to take away from Technomancer then is that the end of the world doesn't have to be the end of the world.
No.
You know, a dramatic shift in paradigm like this isn't necessarily a bad thing. It's just,
it'll give you the edge, penguins, that's bad. So men do not go to Antarctica again or wherever because of it.
Yeah.
Cause you can't or you're dead, you know, but it's still, it can be handled with superior firepower.
Can be handled. What other documentation have we unearthed on the coming of the Rifts? We talked a bit about Shadowrun.
Yeah, that's one.
Where
high-tech world with magic.
Yeah, and you know what? I don't even remember the justification for it.
I think it was just an urban fantasy thing, you know. I don't remember it either.
Yeah,
it's been
like
so long. We've only played it like 3 times, I think.
Yeah,
Donald and Greg played it.
Yeah.
I know that. But yeah, so, I remember. But it's just, you know, but that shows the proper embrace of magic and tech. Because, you know, they had wizards who could jack into computers and their spells could be jacked in with them and they can do all sorts of stuff. I mean, you had the other races like orcs. Dragons were heads of corporations. You know, people make fun of the setting, but it is interesting and cool.
It was cool. You know, it was cool enough to inspire Urban Arcana for the D20 system.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, the generic.
Well, you know.
That's the way they wanted to do it, but they just want to create the Urban Arcana setting because That's rocks.
It's a cool thing. And if it can come into being without totally destroying the world, more power to it.
Yeah, because I was thinking, you know, Juxtaposition or the Blue Adept series.
Right, that was cool.
Yeah, because there's the magic world and the tech world. And at some point, they were blending. You have your alternate self, and then that's the magical side.
You know, that's another one where magic was very scientific.
Because the Blue Adept was the music one. Yeah, because the red one was the Golem Maker, wasn't it?
Yes, the Red Adept was the Golem Maker. No, yeah. Brown was the Golem Maker.
Red made the cursed items or the necklace?
Red, oh.
I don't remember. It's been a long
time. Golly, Miss Molly. Black will use lines.
Yeah.
Yellow used potions.
And one used amulets, because that's when he put the necklace on a kill.
Red used amulets.
Yeah, that was it.
Red and used
blue
amulets.
Blue used music or rhyme or something like that.
Right. Right, and Brown was the Golem Maker.
Yeah,
and there were some other colors, but I forget.
Those are the dominant ones, powerful ones in that world.
Yeah, I forget what else the others were, but that's another one. Magic was very scientific. In fact, the power of magic even derived from an ore that they called phazite.
Yeah.
And the more phazite that you were in possession of, the stronger your magic was.
Yeah, which is like in the technical side, it was
protonite.
It was basically the same thing almost.
Yeah.
That's what he learned.
The two worlds were phase and proton.
Yeah.
And, yeah, whatever. But it was the same stuff.
Yeah.
Related to this, the Dark Sword trilogy.
Yeah.
By Weiss and Hickman. And that was predominantly a world of magic. Okay. And, then they were discovered by the space exploration people from the rest of the universe.
Well, remember they had that barrier around the Great Barrier.
Yeah.
What you call went through and basically said, yeah, you can all go there.
Yeah. But yeah, the apocalypse that happened there was just the reverse of what we're talking about.
Yeah.
You know, the world of technology. Right.
Invades
the world of magic. Now that's an example where the two were absolutely incompatible.
Yeah.
And, they used technology to kill magic, almost literally.
Yeah, until our hero told him, do this with your spell and start countering it. But yeah.
That was an interesting book series. One of the first real anti-heroes.
Yes.
That, I ever encountered in fiction that works. Well, let's discuss this kind of happening on a small scale.
Gradual.
I'm thinking,
low mana world instantly, like you could do a light spell. I don't know.
I'm thinking, more like it's there beneath the surface, and then all of a sudden it surges to the front, like Joss Whedon did with Buffy and Angel.
Yeah,
you know, by the end of both series, I mean the worlds of the supernatural and the regular were just
the apocalypse
crashing
and all that
together.
Yeah,
I mean, just boom. Yeah. And suddenly there are slayers everywhere. Angel ended with that big war between. You know, all the fantasy creatures and the single vampire.
And his crew. Which turns out...
And I never read the comics and stuff that continued it, but I understand that the whole Earth devolves into war.
Yeah, chaos, basically.
Yeah.
And, you know, when he says he takes the dragon,
he takes the dragon.
His mount.
I mean, he mounts the dragon. Gun lives
instead of dying, so then they all do their fights, you know.
Yeah, that was kind of a bum ending for Wesley.
I hate that ending. I do. I swear to gosh. But it was just one of those ways he wanted to go. It's Joss. I will not question the God and creator of Firefly.
Oh, now, all right.
Because I watched Angel, because his best episode for his Angel was Wee Puppet Man. That was the best.
Yeah, that was good.
That was just it.
That was really good. Although a lot of that season 5 was really good stuff. You know, Lorne taking his dreams away.
Yeah.
But there we have, again, another example of the world of magic crashing into the regular world. And the people who were ready for it, the Scooby Gang that was prepped, was prepped because they were already dealing with this stuff.
Yeah, they fought it regularly.
Yeah.
Like Willow became a witch.
Right. And
so, because that was her thing, you know. Poor Xander became the wannabe hero.
Yeah. And again, you know, once again, we had Fred and Wesley scientists. And all these yeah. people using science mm-hmm. to fight the
supernatural.
Fight supernatural wars.
Mm-hmm.
That's something we haven't seen on Supernatural, the TV series.
Oh, no, no, no. Well, yeah, we have technically. They've got the symbols and sigils for minor spells and stuff to protect them and shield them and bind.
Yeah, well, I was thinking more of the worldwide,
no, it's
eruption
all
of, yeah, yeah. It's all still underground.
Yeah, it's still
there.
Subtle. The only eruption they had was the Hell's Gate, you know.
And, yeah, they put a quash on that.
Yeah.
But, so, what are some of the preps we can put in our toolkit for this? What are some of the lessons we can take away?
Pickle Greg.
Pickle Greg.
He knows too much. If the magic was going to erupt, he'd be the one out of us, I think, would be the spontaneous spellcaster. Could all of a sudden tap arcane energies.
Because I ain't going to be a spellcaster.
Now give me that plus sword, plus five Winchester. I'm all good.
So other preps we can put in our toolkit are, you know, your basic tools of science.
Or supernatural, like, okay, if that is true, werewolves will be there, so you gotta get your silver.
Silver, yeah. We'll get to that in a second.
Yeah.
I want to talk about the particular science that is appropriate for fighting the supernatural. Because, you know, Sam and Dean use guns and knives and
salt
stuff.
And all the superstition stuff.
And all that stuff, yeah. But these other guys who just really deal with it in Rifts and this other stuff, they don't just use the tools of science.
Mm-mm.
They use the tools of science.
Yes, super science.
Super science. So the weirder it is, the stranger it is, the less sense it makes, the more likely it is to actually work. So this is where Greg would turn into
God. He had to say
he would
it.
Show up with his. I had to.
Yeah, but he would need me to build and design the damn thing.
But it would all run on steam. So be prepared. Don't cast away your science. It is still of use to you.
Mm-hmm.
And it has to be either really old. I mean, we're talking vacuum tubes.
Yeah.
Or it's gotta be really way out there, you know, or flashy. Tesla coils.
Oh God.
You know, yeah. Good Tesla coils and Jacob's ladders and, you know, mad science is all going to fit well into the new world. The other thing that you need to have in your prepping toolkit are the basic tools of magic. You know, if this is a Harry Potter world,
gotcha.
Where only the select few can work magic, you're pretty much out of luck.
Yeah.
You're done. But no, this is a more general apocalypse where, you know, magic erupts and basically everybody gets a taste of it.
Yep.
You know, like Rifts, like Buffy and
mm-hmm.
and these other
technomancer anyone can
technomancer
learn,
anyone
you know,
can do it. You know, yeah. We've talked before how Buffy is a high mana world. Anybody mm-hmm. with a pinch of dust and the right sing song can effectively work
the
a spell.
Right book.
Yeah, the right book. And you know, so many of them did it on accident.
Yes. That's why you don't read from the book.
You never read from the book.
Jeez.
So arm yourself with a little bit of practical spellcasting knowledge. And just to be helpful, we have some practical spellcasting knowledge that – don't look at me like that. We have some practical spellcasting knowledge. Now, this isn't going to work until after the rifts come, you
right.
know, after until the mana rises, mm-hmm. after the runes explode. I don't know.
If I'm lucky, I'll become a virtual adept.
But one of the things that we have noticed is that your spice cabinet has suddenly transformed
into your potion brewing as well.
Into potion brewing, into spell
yeah,
components.
That's so charmed.
Exactly. So your spice cabinet, besides being a tasty addition to any meal, is suddenly a source of arcane mystical power, which naturally means that your cookbook,
oh God,
is a source of magical power also. Yes, green beans will put hair on your chest.
Oh man.
And you know, salt is good against ghosts and
oysters.
So
liquor is a cure-all.
The safest place in the world has suddenly become the local woodworking shop with all of the sawdust and iron filings and natural connection to the earth. And if you want to prep for the magical apocalypse, for the coming of the rifts, we need help me out here.
I don't fucking know. We thought of it last time.
Drew blank then.
Yeah.
If you want to prep for the magical apocalypse, probably the first skill in your toolkit needs to be learn to cook.
Yeah.
Learn to use all of these fancier spices. And you know what? The more obscure and harder to use and harder to come by it is, the more potent and powerful it's going to be. Or more pungent. Hmm. You know, garlic and Limburger are,
Does that mean you gotta become a saucier?
A saucier, sous chef, an iron chef.
An iron chef. We'll take any ingredient and make it good.
Yeah. So, our second toolkit, prep in our toolkit is stock your, garage. All right. And build up your own, woodworking, tools so that you can make these things out of natural elements. You know, make these things that you need so that you can join, join wood and fiber so that you have access to iron filings and,
So you can make a real Pinocchio too.
Ooh, no, that never turned out well for anybody, did it?
No, just burn the little doll.
No.
Burn him.
So what else have we got in the prep kit? The wand waving and the will working and all of these things that are associated with traditional
mysticism.
Thank you. Good word. Very good. Traditional mysticism probably is not going to work very well. I mean,
no, because if it is, it becomes that world where everybody's got uncontrollable magic and several people have burst.
Yeah, it's more of a traditional fantasy. Yeah, it's more of a traditional fantasy world kind of thing where magic is held by a few and you know, realm of spirits. And you know, we're not talking about that. We're talking about an essential change to essentially the scientific paradigm that we've got right now.
Alchemy works.
Alchemy. Oh, see, I need to go back to college. I need to go back to USI. God. I know I was so disappointed when I didn't, when I missed the deadline to enroll in that.
I couldn't believe it when you told me though, still.
I know, isn't that awesome though?
I know.
The local state college here, you know, USI. Can I mention them? I'm going to mention them. What are they going to do? Sue me? What are they going to get?
It's not a lie. It's in their bulletin.
It's in their course curriculum. That's true.
Gosh.
They teach alchemy as a first level, course. It's an elective. There are no requirements and it is traditional alchemy. As far as I can tell, I didn't get to take the class, but boy, I sure wanted to.
I know. Could have audited, I think.
I know.
Okay.
You know what? It's USI. We should just go. They'll never notice.
Oh, no. Now they got security and stuff more and badge crap.
Well, maybe.
We'll just have to up the forgery stuff.
So, get some education. You know, learn which of these things are going to do you some good and which of them are so much hocus pocus.
Yes, or be prepared to accept it and not be one of those people that thinks, ooh, magic, kill it.
Yeah, well, you know, it's if,
you gotta watch yourself, that's all.
You know, you're still gonna have to, you're still gonna have to know how things work if you're gonna kill them, right?
Yes and no.
Alright. Carry on.
Because, I mean, if you can learn everything you want about supernatural stuff, but you don't know what actually is fiction, or like in some, they say, propaganda is a very good weapon.
Oh, yeah.
So whatever comes at you, silver doesn't work, motherfucker. It was all, you know, because if they were there.
Disinformation.
Yeah. Because that's one thing. I mean, the other thing is...
Vampires really do sparkle in sunlight, man.
Oh, God! Really?
Had to.
But just think of it all as, okay, what if all stuff was crap? And, like, one... I know there's a book I read where magic came back, but it was the worst kind. Where everything was, you know, like, not... was based on fiction enough where, yeah, monsters came, but they were twice as powerful, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Kill you,
yeah.
Rip you apart, you know. It's like a monster invasion.
Well, I just finished reading On Stranger Tides, the novel by Tim Powers that was the basis for the Pirates of the Caribbean movie.
Uh-huh.
And by basis, I mean they share a title.
And a sentence?
And a character. Blackbeard's in both of them.
Well, see, that's another setting with magic on a certain level.
Right. And, you know, that was one of the things, the main character in there, they go to the Caribbean. The whole book is basically about chasing magic. Mm-hmm. As it flees the world, and the main character learns to work magic.
Yeah.
But it's not the same kind of thing. It's all spirit based and voodoo stuff and whatever. But, so, you know, don't discard your science, get fancy with it, learn to cook, learn to do your own woodworking.
Adapt.
That's right. You know, learn which things, stock up on your basic elements. So in our prep kit, we've got these skills, some actual materials that we're going to need in our prep kit. We need salt.
Salt.
You know, not just table salt either. Although I think that works in Supernatural.
Yeah, any salt works. They just gotta get it by the bag full because they need that much.
Yeah, they go through it.
Yeah.
Salt, iron filings, you know, anything, cold iron like that. Yeah. We're gonna need garlic. We're gonna need to stock our pantry.
You need to stock yourself with your Supernatural survival kit.
You know, wood,
iron nails,
silver.
Hammer,
we're gonna need some silver. You know, we're gonna be, ransacking the local Catholic church.
Or you get yourself ordained and make it all holy yourself. See there, yeah. If that works, let's see. $39.99.
That's not consistent with our paradigm, though.
No, but
so the holy water thing is spiritual. It's not mechanical.
Yeah, but still.
So we're talking about
infusion
of interdimensional. There we go.
It was propaganda told, you know.
You know,
make you go to church so you can be protected. That kind of thing.
You know, the infusion of other dimensional energies, quantum shift in understanding.
Well, I think it more is the tech has overshadowed the magic, so it's lessened, so something causes it to erupt forth on equal ground, like the tech's gone just so far.
Mm-hmm.
Something like that.
Well, you know what? This is... Okay, so we've got our toolkits. We've studied our historical document. How is this actually going to happen? I don't put a lot of stock in this, the global nuclear war is going to unleash magic or anything like this.
Shift in the axis of the planet.
Shift in the axis.
Just right where the energy
there we
interrupts.
Go. That's, I'll buy it. I'll buy that for a dollar.
Way, baby.
See, I was going to go with science has reached the, Heisenberg uncertainty limit.
Uh-huh.
You know, where things can only be defined up to a certain point, and then literally the laws of physics start breaking down. Mm. And I figure that at some point, somebody somewhere is going to figure out what lies beyond the Heisenberg uncertainty principle. Dragon Ball Z is not just mindless action violence. I'll show you why over the next 5 minutes as we rock the dragon battle.
You're listening to Rock the Dragon Ball Z. Let's dive right in. I'm Woodsman, he's Broomstick.
No, I'm Isaiah, and he's Winston.
That's right, and we are on Season 1,
Disc 2,
and it starts off as we resume the Wild Child story of Gohan in the wilderness, being watched over by Piccolo. Gohan has a couple of adventures with...
a dinosaur friend.
Dinosaurs and...
dinosaur train.
Robots. He meets that robot.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yep. And he learns a couple of harsh lessons, doesn't he, about the law
Not
of the jungle.
Not all dinosaurs are friendly.
Yep. The rest of the Z fighters.
Also, he's wearing new clothes.
Yamcha and
Yamcha,
Tien.
Krillin, Tien, and Chaozu are working at Korin Tower.
Right.
To
they
be ready for the two new people.
For special training because Vegeta and Nappa are on their way to Earth.
Right. But they stop at this one planet, make their mark on it, and leave.
Yeah, make their mark on it how?
I don't remember.
Oh, come on. they beat up everybody on the planet and then blow it up as they're leaving, remember?
Yeah.
Yep. And Goku is adventuring in the other world.
On
he's running along
way.
Snake Way.
He falls
off it
because
and he lands
he's asleep
in hell.
And riding on some weird bumper thing.
Yep, right. He lands in hell and he has to escape there.
He beats the two challenges of the evil demons, grabs
the,
a fruit
they're not
elf,
demons,
them,
they're
or devils.
Ogres. They're ogres.
Ogres.
Very important distinction.
Grabs a fruit that will keep him unhungry
King
for
Yemma,
3 months.
Right.
Yeah.
One of King Yemma's special fruit.
And starts running along Snake Way again.
Yep.
He gets a quad along the way.
He does, doesn't he?
And
he
and
encounters
in the middle,
a snake palace in the middle.
Yeah. He thinks it's King Kai's house. No. It's a giant snake in disguise.
It is. It is Princess Snake who decides that she likes Goku's show so much, she could just eat him right up.
Literally.
And she really does try. So what we've got going on behind the scenes here, we've got, with Gohan's journey, we've got a fairly typical wild child adventures going on. And this is the innocent adventure, the coming of age portion of the story. We also have
Dad,
it established.
You said Goku instead of Gohan. Last time you said Gohan instead of Goku.
Well, this was Gohan in the wilderness. My bad. But what is more important in regards to Gohan's character is the fact that we've established that Saiyans are run by rage. We know this because Raditz said so.
Yep.
Because we met Vegeta and Nappa, and we have discovered that rage is almost entirely absent from Goku's character. And when it comes to Gohan, his rage is a passing thing. Right. It is unlike the rest of the Saiyans, these two characters, our hero characters of Goku and Gohan, are not slaves to this vice, which is rage.
Yeah.
Or if we were talking about the cardinal virtues and vices that drive so many archetypal characters, it would be the vice of wrath.
But
this is not something that our character, they have failings. Goku obviously
getting
is
caught
a
up
glutton.
In...
He eats a lot.
Yeah.
And he doesn't think things through very much. He does sometimes, but
yep.
He's naive.
When he got Princess Snake in a knot, which
yep.
was not
okay.
long ago.
He's a good problem solver, but he's very trusting. He's naive, and that's not really a vice, as it were. That's something else we'll talk about.
And once again,
now with Piccolo
Krillin and his friends are training at.
They're training at Kami's Tower,
yeah.
Right?
No, not Kami.
Kami's
Korin's
Tower. They're on their way to Kami's lookout.
Yeah.
Now we have the first of some significant transformations. Our Z fighters are standard backup heroes.
Basically, Piccolo
they're doing
from good to bad.
All right, they're doing the standard hero's journey kind of thing. Acknowledge their own weakness, train to overcome it, and so forth. Piccolo, however, is beginning the transformation from a bad guy who is self-interested and self-serving to someone who begins to care about other people.
Kind of like Kami.
Kind of like he begins to become more like Kami.
Yeah,
that's right. And this is a transformation that will last for 4 entire seasons before he
turns bad again.
No, before he finally culminates that story arc in season 5.
Yeah.
So we have the beginnings. We have the beginnings of a story arc there, and we just have a lot of interesting things going on as far as characters and how they're changing and what we're learning about them and where they're coming from. The only thing I want to do now is I want to leave you with our name pun for this episode. The Gohan, Goku and Gohan. Gohan means rice. And it is a Japanese staple food. And
that kind of makes sense because Gohan is small.
Because Gohan is small.
So is rice.
Right. And Goku, I forget exactly what his Japanese staple food is, but he is also one of... That's what his name means, too. And this is just the writer's desire to be funny, to inject a little levity, to remind people that this is supposed to be funny and entertaining. Anyway, we're out of time.
You've been listening to Rock the Dragon Ball Z. Up and with this Bin Boom Stick.
This podcast is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share Alike 3.0 license.